Tune in every Tuesday morning to Public Access Channel 360, Eagle River's one and only sports talk show, for Dick's Tips. From legendary fishing broadcaster Dick Stemke.
You don't want to miss these hot Dick Tips. Muskie 360 podcast. Jay, do you have
bulldogs?
Do you have big bulldogs?
I've got bulldogs.
Do you have small bulldogs?
Big bulldogs.
Nothing but big.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the biggest bulldogs of them all. He is the Jay man in the Muskie
Steve,
game.
What is happening with your bad self?
I am hot.
Yeah, me too.
No, it's nuts. We've been laughing all week long. It's warmer in the Northwoods than it is in Tennessee, yet again. Just got off the water. I've been on just a fish tear. I can't even say it on the podcast. It's just 4 footer plus after, Jay. You know this. You'll see it on Muskie Shop TV, boys, because it's getting nasty.
Man, it must be nice. That's awesome.
So anyway, I want to say thank you for everybody that bought Next Level Muskie Fishing. Holy crap, Jay.
Yeah,
the book sold out in under 5 minutes.
It did. I'm glad we have more coming,
dudes. I don't even know what to say. I was driving down the road.
Wow.
Thank you guys so much. The straight up. Hell, I'll call it what it is, love and support, because we get awesome messages from you guys. Was amazing. Read the emails and just falling over gushing. I left the house early the day the book came out. I told Jody, I said, I can't sit here and watch what happens with that many books. And, you know, if we sell 4 of them, I'm going to be embarrassed or whatever. I was driving. A client called me. We were talking about what day they want to go. And my phone goes ding 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 ding.
Right. That's the sound it makes.
No 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 no
no no no no no no
no no no no. I don't think the hard stuff's gonna come down for a minute.
I keep fishing. I don't think the hard stuff's gonna come down for quite a while.
Hey Jay, big shout out to my friend Jason and Noah. That was our day today. So we got a 4 footer, and then we played that game. It was like, oh, we're going to just dodge them, right? There's lightning cracking up. And you're right. Oh, yeah, the hard stuff's not going to come down there for a while there. You're trying to get another fish, and we're just dodging storms. We were literally like in between two storms where, okay, we better move because the lightning's coming. And you couldn't go south of it, and you couldn't go north of it. You're just stuck in between.
Yeah, we were just talking. We had one of those in Vilas County last year when you're up. It's just like several days like that. It's just like, okay,
don't get off the water.
Which way is this thing gonna go?
But congrats to Jason. He got a PB today on the boat. That was awesome.
Very cool.
Those are super cool guys, man. They're both really chill. I like fishing with them. But anyway, next level muskie fishing sold out in 5 minutes. I love you guys. There is a huge batch coming. So what I'll tell you is this. Can't tell you how many, because that would take the fun out of it for you. Everything that is showing up at the muskie shop this week, by the end of the week, is accounted for on sign-up. So if you get your sign-up notification, you better get on it. After that, there's a monster batch, hopefully, that will catch up. We've not even announced this thing, Jay, other than the podcast.
It's true.
We're not talking small fry stuff here. So I've actually gotten some emails back already on the book. Jay, you've been reading it. I'm not trying to pump the book. I'm not here to sell the book. It is what it is. If you guys don't think I know what I'm talking about by now, stop listening. So labor to love there, man. So they will be there hopefully by the end of the week. Another Steve Paul related topic. Meat grinders. I think they showed up over the weekend. A couple Daisy Duke showed up. I know Goblin King. I know Shad Daddy will be there. We're working on some other of these, so don't fret. The restock is coming from Figure Eight Lure Company. This week's video, Jay, spoiler alert, Steve's meat grinder.
Yeah. I think I just finished it a while ago before we started. So
did you get, did you get the thing I sent you today? You didn't even tell me that. Did you get it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I got the whole thing done. Cool, so fair looks enough. Good. Yeah, looks good.
The other comings and goings. Leo Lures truck top water.
Yeah, that's something different, huh? Do you see that thing? Pretty cool.
I see it. I'm looking at it.
Wonderful handcrafted stuff from Leo Party Lures.
Is the front of that, is that like turned on a light? Is that wood on wood? Wood on wood, the JSE story.
Apparently, yeah. It's the front's real light, buoyant, spins like crazy, very easily spins. Todd from Leo Lures says it spins at a very slow pace or fast. It can be retrieved either way. So I've already had some comments. People are like, oh, video. Let's see a video of it, you know. So try to get it out, do a quick demo of it this week, and get it out there, because
very cool.
There's several people just like, okay, this is something we haven't seen before, and you know, everybody loves a cool topwater bait, you know.
Do they though?
Yeah,
they do.
except you, basically.
Dude, throw them today. I love
no
a topwater bait.
Come on, you did not.
Because the guys were asking like with their topwater. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Huh.
But cool thing I came up with today. Moving on. Something I want to mention. So, a bunch of emails about Steve's meat grinder. My best meat grinder, Jay, is kind of squeaky. I can't tell you the best color.
Oh.
We all know that it's freaking Daisy Duke, okay?
Yeah, I know.
But, little trick for me. And this is from the world of buzz baits. What I do with spinner baits to get them to make sound, right? It came up on the boat today and is a good little point. So, take your spinner bait, put a vice grip. You're going to hate this, Jay, right? Jay's got a little Ford Explorer ripping edition. Do you have roof racks on your Ford Explorer, Jay?
It's an ST.
Well, does it have roof racks or some kind of bar up there?
It does.
Okay. Don't do it for hundreds of miles, but take a spinnerbait, clip it to the roof of your truck, and then drive down the road. That blade will creak like a buzzbait. Wear the freaking little barrel swivel out. It'll start creaking. So people go, how do you have your spinnerbaits? Well, how do your spinnerbaits make sound? All of my meat grinders are like, wear them out. So that's just a little trick. Don't do it too long. Don't do it too much. basically you're just clipping on top of your car and going 70 miles an hour and imagine what's happening.
If you wear out the bearing though, what happens when you want to slow retrieve that thing? Isn't the blade hesitate to spin at that low RPMs then?
Buddy, it's creaking and creaking.
But it's creaking and it'll still go.
Dude, I've got a shad that is like, meh, meh, meh. It's nasty.
When you say your Jeep's blinged out, you really mean it, driving down the road.
I look like a dipshit.
You got all those spinnerbaits duct taped to them? That's cool.
Not all the time. I'll get one. Oh, my God, dude. It's so dumb. You feel like an idiot. I'm standing on my door frame, like, clipping a spinnerbait to the roof of my truck.
Jody's looking at you from the porch, just shaking her head, going, wow.
And she hates it. And she's like, that's so stupid.
What is he doing now?
We've argued about it. She's like, that doesn't help. I'm like, it helps the sound. And she's like, you look like an idiot. So I'll do it. 30-minute drive from my house to the water I fish. Once I get that thing's creaking and squeaking and going stupid. But don't do it, folks, unless you're insane and your spinnerbaits will make sound and you go, wow, I'm catching more fish. Yeah, that's kind of dumb. But you know where that came from, Jay? Buzzbaits.
No. Yeah. Mm.
So guys used to take, and this was a bass, like a pro bass move. They would take buzzbaits and put them on their top of their truck or somewhere where they catch air. And it would get the wire worn out and the buzz thing, like, you're basically, you fished it to no end. And so I've had like slot masters and bosses over the years that I fished for a real long time. I go, man, that thing's just crushing fish. And you hear it and you go, oh, it's worn out. So you sort of get that worn out creaky sound out of a bait really quick. But don't do it, Jay.
No, don't plan on it.
Unless you want to catch Donkey Kongs.
Okay.
You know. Other than that, heard from the Krieger today. Hot water temps already. Hot.
Yeah.
Hot. Yeah. What's going on? Is it going to cool off? What do you think in the Northwoods?
Yeah, after today, it looks like 70s the rest of the week. So, you know, with cooler nights. So, no problems there. Needed the heat and sunshine to get these weeds going because they're a little bit behind schedule this year.
I think all the weed vegetation across the board is behind.
I'm sure Minnesota's in the same. Yeah.
What are you going to do? So anyway, how geared up for the Muskie Shot Bash are you, Jay?
Well, I'm getting there. Not there yet, but I'm really thinking about it. It right now. It's right around the corner. It's kind of scary. No, I'm not geared up for it, to be honest with you.
No, I'm not emotionally.
Not even prepared. I mean, yeah, you're going to Hungary next week, of all places.
I know.
Isn't that so ridiculous? You'll be gone for a while.
You say that, man. It's so goofy. Like, I just ambled there. I take every day to day, right? Because I'm a fishing guy, so it's like, what's going on right now?
Right. I know where you're going with this, because like a couple nights ago, I asked you, hey, when are you leaving for Hungary? You're like, I'm not sure.
Not sure. I'm just here. And Jody is like, hey, I'm like, whoa. You wake up and you're just going to be on a plane to Hungary with Eric from Livingston and driving a Ferrari, baby.
Now, do you travel with your entourage, or I mean, are you renting one once you get there?
Me and Andrew Tate are hitting the town.
Okay. Are you flying commercial or are you taking the 360 private jet?
No, we're flying on the Muskie 360 private jet. So,
very nice. Okay.
Unbelievable. You probably will see pictures of me in a Ferrari. That's the Muskie 360 Europe Ferrari. That's not the one that we have here in the United States.
Oh, okay.
I don't want people to get confused and go, oh, is that the United States Ferrari they drive?
No catalytic converter.
Right. And you know, 600 horsepower of all unbridled hell breaking loose on the streets of Budapest. It's going to happen. There's probably going to be a Muskie Shop TV video of me raising hell in a Ferrari, I hope.
It's a convertible, right? No. Or a T-top or whatever you call it?
Well, it's Ferrari, baby.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? First up, Anthony. Hey, guys. I have two questions. I'm hoping you can answer. The first is based on something my dad and I saw this weekend while out fishing. We saw a mid-30s tiger swimming with its mouth open and head out of the water. We saw it do this a handful of times and then would dive down and pop back up and do it again. Any thoughts on why they do that? So I've heard people talk about bacteria in the gills. I've heard that they're cleaning their gills, but I've seen it. Muskies head out of the water, thrushing, doing this weird thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is, they're not eating. So they're just doing their thing. Hold on. He says, do you think it's a sign of a fish not doing well? So I'm going ahead here. The first time I remember seeing that, I thought there was a fish that had like a broken off bait in its mouth or something. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I drove over to it, and it's just doing its thing. They do that on occasion. It's weird.
And it's usually over open water, too, right?
Yeah, they're kind of uncatchable.
From what
at
I've
that
seen.
Point.
Yeah.
Second question is about leaders. Recently, someone asked about leaders for Titan Juniors, which I wanted to ask also. What are some of your rules for leaders? I know straight wire for gliders, but what else? Also, with the no BS system style, do you worry about the line twist or anything with bucktail spinnerbait? Thanks. Love the podcast and all you guys do. Steve, waiting to get a copy of the book. Can't wait to read it. Dude, thank you so much for the support. It means the world to me. So, you are not going to run into a problem with line twist and an OBS leader. I'm sorry. Somebody will be like, it happened to me one time. I was up on Lake of the Woods and it happened, Jay. Who cares? One time. I fish no BS consistently. So, mega super ninja trick, Jay.
Explain no BS for the viewers.
Quick. So, the viewers, if they could see me now, buddy, they've seen my jam.
Duh, wearing, listeners.
I'm wearing snowman sleeping pants. Right.
Slippers?
Sleeping pants with snowman on them. Okay. I still have on my Musky Shop dry fit because we got poured on today.
Yeah.
And I was wet and it was miserable. And my
so
shorts,
you're disappointed because of the term dry fit.
Well, Jody said, how bad was it? I said, I've taken drier showers.
Okay.
Anyway, no BS. Booker came up with this because he lost the biggest fish he's ever hooked on the French River in Canada because of a snap failure.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we're doing is we're connecting via a steel ring to the leader, and we're connecting our baits with a split ring, right? You're not going to roll up, in one cast, you're not going to roll up a freaking bait, okay? There's too many people that have too much time to sit around on the internet and talk about musky fishing because they're not musky fishing. And I hear this all the time. Well, that will happen. And I'm not talking about the guy that wrote the question. I've seen people write big diatribes about it. Like, okay, when did that happen to you? One time? I'll run headlocks. I'll run legend plows on an OBS. Ad nauseum. Don't even think about it. We're not going to get line spin. Okay, there's something kind of magical about a bucktail on OBS because guess what, Jay? There's a snap to that leader configuration. I don't mean a snap like a line snap. I mean, once the blades have to turn. So I like running bucktails on OBS systems because the barrel swivel can't compensate for that blade not turning. Stop worrying about it. Not something you need to worry about.
That's interesting.
Not going to happen. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Just think of it that way. Anyway, ESOX12, he says, I was one of the lucky ones to get the book last Tuesday. Finally able to start reading it this morning and loving it. Thanks for sharing your knowledge, both in the book and the podcast. Keep the great work. Dude, thank you so much. I appreciate the heck out of that.
Did he comment on my pictures at all?
No, he said, you suck.
Oh, darn it.
He said,
okay.
He said, Jay dumb.
What's Jay doing in that book?
What's Jay doing in that book? What? Why isn't... When's Jay's book coming out?
How come there's no pictures of Dick Stemke?
There are four pictures of Dick Stemke in that book, in the unedited, in the NC-17 version of the book.
I see. Okay.
Evan. Hey, guys. Just want to oh, my goodness. It's the gushy episode, folks. I'm sorry. Hey, guys. Just wanted to give a heartfelt thank you to Steve and Jay. The podcast is great. I'm currently a novice musky fisherman, but the podcast has really helped me find my way in approaching the fish. A lot of the information you mentioned on what not to do, I and my friends fishing have done and had success. Hearing it on the podcast had me laughing and saying to myself, son of a gun, gonna fix that ASAP. The information from structure to cover, bait choice, understanding, forage, etc. is incredible. Can't tell you how many times I'm doing something around the house and just randomly say, Steve's meat grinder. And the wives ask, what is that from? It needs to stop. It should.
Needs to stop. Yeah,
I saw this that. Needs to stop now, buddy.
That's funny. I could hear her saying it to him, too.
Get on Urban Dictionary and look up a meat grinder. It needs to stop. Anyway, I'm rambling. Appreciate very much what both of you guys do, except for Jay. I added that part.
Thank you.
This information allowed me to escape to the water more and present why. Sorry, Jay. Oh, anyway, he's a police officer. Thank you for what you do. What me and Jay do sucks compared to what you do, right? You're out there busting perps 24/7, doing stakeouts, taking takeout, cracking skulls. Me and Jay are here drinking beers and talking about musky fishing because we're dumb, right?
It's a rough life.
Nothing else would have us. Literally, you go, you could not have been successful in anything else. So we'll talk muskies. You bust them perps. Dude, that's awesome. In all honesty, we appreciate everybody that writes in. And I'm not trying to be corny. It is the season. We wouldn't do this without you guys, obviously. Me and Jay are not going to listen to ourselves ramble, but I want everybody that listens to this podcast to realize one thing. We tell you things that no one else will tell you. We get down to the basics, the brass tacks of things that will work because we want you to catch fish. That's it. I want everybody that listens to this show to catch muskies. It's not a competition to me. It's not. I've done mine. I don't care. I've said it before, Jay. If I never catch another muskie, guess what? Don't care. I really don't care. Now, my clients would care, and I want my clients to catch them, right? I don't need to reel another one in. I want you guys to have a good time. People have limited time on the water. I'll help you any way we can. Jay's the same way. The guys at the muskie shop are the same way. Pat! This is good. You ready, Jay? Take a breath.
Lay it on me. Hit me.
I just got back from nearly a train wreck of a trip to Canada.
Ooh.
4 hours into the trip, I blew a tire and took out two of my trailer lights. Dun, dun, dun. Then at the border, me and my passenger both had to pay duty on some beer we were taking across.
Of course.
Apparently, we parked at the wrong spot to go in and pay. They threatened to arrest us. Yeah, it sounds about right. Then the water was extremely rough, and I found a loose connection to my hummingbird, and it was not tracking my route. After fixing that, the next day, the cable connecting my batteries to make a 24-volt system wasn't working, so I had to fix that as well. Then, after a 20-mile run across the lake, I shut my motor off to set up to do some trolling. I started my motor up and had no more forward gears. I had to get towed 10 miles back to camp. The fishing ended up being average. What kind of stories do you guys have for train wrecks of fishing trips? Wow. Been there, boys. So, I can tell you, I can't remember what year it was, sleeping on Eagle Lake because we had water in our gas, right? You go to the gas stations, they're charging you by the liter there, Jay. You get a liter of the petrol.
It's not much.
Not much. And we got some bad gas one time, and on the old two-strokes, the tiniest bit of water would get in your reed valves. I remember covering up with a blanket while the wolves howled on Eagle Lake and were tied to a tree on the bank, banging off the shore, right? Praying to God the wolves don't eat us. While we waited for someone to show up, and it took a day and a half. So that sucked, right? Which brings me to a point. If you're going to fish anything other than Lake of the Woods, so Eagles for big boys, put on your big boy panties. Loxo and Wabagoon are for the dudes. I'll be on the Goon this year. Me and Tim and Josh, we're going to do the Goon. We're doing Loxo and Eagle. You know, Lake of the Woods, somebody will find you. And the joke has always been this. Lake of the Woods, you'll take out a lower unit, right? Eagle, you'll wreck your boat one time. Loxo, you'll wreck your boat. No one will find you. That's it. Wabagoon, you'll wreck your boat and it'll just smell like a dirty paper mill.
That's uplifting stuff there.
It is. That'll make you feel good.
Yeah.
But I remember laying under one of those, like the emergency blankets, Jay.
Sure.
And eating an MRE. And it was horrible.
At least you had.
Well, dude. So things that I take to Canada that are retarded. And you go, why does he have that in the boat? I take an MRE. Because it'll just stay in the boat forever. I take
meals ready to eat.
Mm-hmm. I take those foil, you know, the emergency foil blankets. So there's a video we did over this winter where it was me and Tim on Wabagoon. I'm wearing my nasty old padded jeans because it's August and it's like 50. It was in the low 40s that night. So we got stranded that day. You're not going to do well if it's 40 degrees outside and you're stranded in your boat. So, MRE, foil blanket, right? An excessive amount of water. You always want to have that on hand. Any other safety equipment, I want to make sure that I have a flare. I want to make sure I have a really good fire extinguisher. I don't go to Canada. I remember my dad, I wasn't on the boat at that time, but my dad had a Ranger catch on fire. Right? And it was a battery that went bad. And you go, there's no one here to help you. So you need to be prepared for just about anything. But in the boat, MRE, the reflective blanket, a change of clothes. So I always keep like a pair of jeans, an extra hoodie, an extra t-shirt. I keep gloves. I keep plastic, like the mechanic gloves. So I can sort of do anything. And in the boat, I have tools on hand. I don't run a kicker on this boat, so I want to make sure that I have enough stuff that I can sort of camp out if I need to. And all this stuff packs down really small. I never go on a trip in Canada without an anchor and a 40-foot rope. And most of us don't have an anchor in the boat, Jay. Do you have an anchor in your boat, Jay?
Yeah.
Well, thanks. That didn't help. But most of us don't run around with an anchor. I never go to Canada without an anchor. Tim and I, my dear friend Tim, Team from the Netherlands.
Yep.
I may have said this before. We sat in Spring Bay on Eagle Lake last year and thought we were going to die. We thought, this is it. There's rotation in the clouds. It is pea soup green. There's lightning everywhere. And we were on Tim's boat, and he has power poles, Jake, and they both broke. They just snapped off. Just broke them. And you're spinning like a top, and you go, we're dead. Lay in the bottom of the boat. Put a tackle box over your head. The hail was a half inch wide, and I went, if it doesn't hit me in the eye socket, I probably won't die from this, but surely the tornado that's about to pick us up will kill us, right? Plan ahead. Juddy did an article for the Muskie Shop called The Overplanner's Guide to a Canada Trip. There's a little bit on there.
The Muskie Shop blog.
The blog. But plan ahead. Plan like crazy. Something else I want to talk about Canada trip. He's asking, have you had bad trips? I've had ridiculous trips. I've had trips where day one your motor blows up. Well, that's fun. Things you want to do for a Canada trip. Get rid of your stainless steel prop. Huh? What? I got the baddest prop there is, Jay. My prop's awesome. Run an aluminum prop in Canada. When you hit a rock, guess what happens, Jay? It breaks the prop and it doesn't break your drive shaft.
Okay.
Right? So that shield leg stuff is not forgiving. You want to have an aluminum prop. You want to have a secondary prop for your trolling motor. It's not if, it's when on both of them, right? Make sure, undoubtedly, you have a backup system for your routes. So on the console of the new Super Low with the Livingston, Jay, have you seen the pictures? It looks amazing. Have you seen the Low for this year? It's ungodly. Livingston lures down the side. Maybe a Steve Paul signature in the back. It's kind of gnarly, right?
Oh, the wrap? Yeah, the outer wrap? Yeah, it looks good.
You know, brand new engine, brand new everything. Livingston went full tilt on it this year. It's smexy. But
is there a picture of me on the outside of that boat?
Yes, it's on the bottom of the boat. So when I hit a rock, your face gets crushed.
God, meaner than a snake.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So what I do with this system, you get,
sorry.
I'm seriously going to get a freaking like floor decal, your face printed on the bottom of the boat. That'd be funnier than hell. Here I'm setting new boat. It's smexy as they get, and brand new engine, brand new trolling motor, new everything, new turrets from Right Height and Bass Fishing Electronics. Shameless plug. If you need electronics, call Steve at Bass Fishing Electronics. Not me, Steve, the other Steve. Right Height, they took care of me out of Missouri. It's just ripping, right?
Yeah.
You would go, I got a brand new boat, I don't need backups. I have a backup prop, I take a backup trolling motor, and I take a backup, when I said prop from a trolling motor, so I'm taking an extra trolling motor prop, an extra trolling motor, then I'm taking an extra prop for my outboard. That's it. Don't go up to Canon and go, I'm going to run my boat and not hit something. If you've not been there, you'll hit something. Guaranteed. It's not if, it is when, right? Myself, Steve Herbeck, Julian, and Andy Myers Lodge, big prop to those guys. I think we're the only three that can run from Niven to the Western Arm. I think there's three, maybe four, maybe a couple of the Indians can do it. There's not many people can run that, drive the entire lake, Jay. There's guides that can't do it. So if you get in a sticky predicament, you better have an extra prop in your boat. Now, something a lot of people think, they'll be like, oh, I'll take an extra prop with me. Take an extra torque hub assembly. So in the back of my boat somewhere, I'm going to have an additional prop. I'll have an additional torque hub assembly, which that means I'm going to have a prop winch with me. A prop wrench, excuse me. So if you don't know how to take your prop on and off, you need to figure it out. Right? Other things to consider. Never, ever, ever leave the dock in Canada without a set of sockets. I always like to have a couple sets of vice grips. Vice grips come in handy for just about any repair you can come up with, right?
True.
So, something I dealt with. And it was actually on the winter, and I run the all treks because I like to have my turret on there and all that stuff, right? Now, this is probably dangerous, but don't do it. I take no responsibility for the statement. I had an inline fuse that just was bad. Well, guess what I did, Jay? I put the two ends together with a set of vice grips and went the rest of the day. Okay, vice grips are handy. So vice grips, extra prop, torque hub assembly, prop wrench, extra trolling motor prop, whatever you need to have to change that trolling motor prop. So Jay, do you remember last year we're going to a dock? There's a storm we're running out of, right? Okay. And out of nowhere, we hit nothing, but my prop was gone off my trolling motor, like sheared. Do you remember that? It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
I'm trying to think of where that was.
It was on me, you, and Jim the day we got the big one trolling Lake Nene, I'll call it. And we went and we're like, whoa, we have no trolling motor. Out of nowhere, the two arms on my trolling motor, the wings off my trolling motor just sheared. We don't even know what we hit. We didn't feel anything. But I had extra trolling motor props. So that's that's just the preparedness there. Another thing I want to say on a Canada trip. I want to have a box, a mod box ready to go.
Right? A mod box. Okay.
What does that mean? So let's talk about Steve's mod box. What is in my mod box? Is this time for a musky breakdown, Jay? I think so.
Breakdown!
Breakdown. Anyway, let's break it down here. What is in Steve's mod box, especially for Canada, preparing for a big trip? Let's say, Jay, the other thing. Let's say we're going from Cook County, we're going to the Northwoods. Same thing applies, right? Now, I might need not need an extra boat prop or a prop wrench or a trolling motor prop or this stuff. You might be able to go to Premier in St. Germain or somewhere and get this stuff taken care of. Canada, you're going to have a problem. But I have a deep Plano box, Jay. What are those? The deep Planos.
Like a 3730?
There you go. So, what's in Steve's mod box? First and foremost, an assortment of hooks pre-rigged with split rings.
Good idea.
Right? So, I'm going to go from 2-aught up to 7-aught, right? I'm going to have them ready to go. So, let's say I catch a fish on a headlock. I need to cut a hook. I've got those. Let's say I get a JBO bite on a depth rater. I'm going to have the 3-aughts on that. I'm going to have an assortment of hooks ready with a split ring where I go, okay, I had to cut that hook on, off, we're done, right? I'm going to have a roll of heat shrink. That's going to allow me to get a hook set up for a bucktail. It's going to allow me to get a hook set up for a topwater if I need to have that. So there's a little heat shrink in there. The other stuff I have on hand, Kalen's grubs, black, chartreuse, white. What else is really coming to mind? Maybe root beer. So I've got a bunch of grubs and you go, okay, well, all right. I don't have anything with Kalen's. They're killer on spinnerbaits. You can cut them down. Let's say you get a fish on hot tails, Jay, or on a Phantom, right? 7-inch or big hot tails. You can cut a Kalen's grub down and make a suitable tail for any glide bait or any bait that uses a soft tail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So you could take like a, think about this, H2O Barbarian. That's going to work great with a Kalen's, right? 7-inch Phantom, going to work great with a Kalen's. Titan, great with a Kalen's. So I want to have big, like the what is it, Magombo?
Yeah, that's a 6-inch one.
Yep. Right. Then I'm going to have the step down in some capacity. It doesn't have to be Kalen's. It could be some oddball grub where my 6-inch Phantoms need a new tail. All right, I've got a ton of replacement tails. My whatever, I need a trailer on a Spitfire Kamikaze, or I need a trailer on a bucktail, whatever it might be, right? That's in there. Then I'm going to have a bunch of bucktail wire, right? Have a handful of bucktail wire. 051, what is it? 051 and 45J are the two standard sizes. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, 41, 45, 51. Okay. Yeah.
This is the 50 and the 40. You got a Spankies, you got that. I have on more than one occasion built a bucktail on the water and caught a fish within minutes. Now, let's say we've got, me and Jay love the MEPS flashaboo, and we're throwing those, and we get a fish, and it's all messed up. We need to rebuild this. So we need bucktail wire. We need a small assortment of skirts. So I keep white skirts, black skirts, orange skirts, and green skirts. So I could build the proximity of something that I need to. That also means I have beads. I have lure bodies, clevises, right? What else is in my mod box? I'm thinking out loud. It's setting in.
I've seen you do that too. Yeah. Hey, and one important thing with the hooks too, make sure you have hooks. Just if you have 2-aughts in there, make sure you have a long 2-aught and a short 2-aught.
Yes.
Because certain baits are going to require, they just won't work right. You know, the hook will flip up or something if it's too long. So just have some different lengths.
A big assortment of split rings.
Yep.
So from fixing a bait, a lot of times guys will be like, I had a split ring get all bent up from a hit. It got bent up in the net 99% of the time, right? But let's say the hook's good, but we got to replace the split ring. Have an entire gamut of split rings on hand. Just have them. Just buy them. You do it one time, it'll serve you well. Like, so we're going to have a variety of tails. We've got bucktail wire. Now, I'm also going to have super glue, whether it be Mendit, whether it be cheap super glue, I don't care what it is. That's going to allow me to do a lot of things. Where it's let's say we're on a phantom bite, right? If you haven't caught a fish on a 6-inch phantom, you haven't musky fished. All of us have. It's just a perennial favorite, right, Jay?
It is.
They do not screw on. You have to glue those tails on. So we need some super glue on hand. We also need a crack lighter, as I call them, a torch. That's in the mod box. So
excellent repair tool.
Right. You can fix a bulldog, a Medusa, a toothy tough, whatever it might be. You can mend that. Mendit glue will work as well. I prefer a torch for fixing tubes, whatever it might be. We're going to have hooks, like I said, hooks, split rings, bucktail wire, a few skirts, anything you need. I'm also going to have blades. So I'm not leaving the dock unless I have 2 tins in silver, 2 tins in like flowage green, 2 chartreuse tins. Then I'll have 8 willows. I'll have 7 willows. I'll have a smattering of these blades. So let's say we find out that they're hitting Steve's meat grinder, right? It's an 8-blade on a rubber core skirt on a boss, but you bought one and your friend doesn't have one. Now we got to figure it out, right? Well, you can augment any other spinnerbait with this and make this happen. So have the tools on hand, because there's nothing worse than getting into Canada or on your big musky trip and you don't have the stuff you need to get it done.
And yeah, you find a hot bait, something that's working well, and it's like, okay, I don't have many backups with this, so I got to make do and repair what I have as often
right.
as possible.
Or make. The thing for me, dude, egg sinkers. Always got them.
Yeah.
From 3/4 up to 2 ounces. And I'm going to have leader making stuff in there. So I'm going to have swivels. I'm going to have snaps. I might have a little coil of multi-strand. Have that big, deep plano just full of all kinds of goodies where you got to figure it out on the fly. There's nothing worse than catching a fish and then going, I can't replicate that because I don't have it. You know? Cost a couple bucks to put together. Might take a couple years before you dial it in, but dial in a repair box where you got everything you need, where you go, this could change the game for me across the board. And I've seen it happen so many times where we're going, had we not done this, we would have been in big trouble. You know, we would have been out on the outskirts. Me and Tim ran into a bite one time where if you didn't have paddle tails on a spinnerbait, you weren't catching, right? Well, fortunately, we had paddle tails. Have a smattering of this stuff in the boat. Tom, fellas, I had 4 follows to the boat this morning on 2 different baits and no takers in the figure eight. I was convinced they were going to go, but they didn't. Is this just musky fishing, or is this a sign my eights are off? Not big enough, too slow. Also, I saw the same fish falling on Panoptics on another cast and no strike. What gives? I'm in northern Illinois, so they're definitely 2-3 weeks post-spawn. Hope it helps. Jay, how do you draw the line between they're not eating and they're staying in the eight? What do you do to convert these fish? Is it a downsize thing? Is it a speed thing? Is it a bait change? What do you think?
I think it's all above. He didn't say what he was using or how hot they looked. You know, that's one thing you can determine. Right. It's just like, you know, if that fish is literally trying to eat the bait, or if it's a lazy follow and it just kind of appears out of nowhere and is somewhat disinterested once you start the figure eight. If he's in Northern Illinois, maybe speed would be a factor, speeding it up. I think around here, big, wide, slow turns are probably the first thing I'd try with the fish that are possibly just coming off the spawn in most cases on most lakes around northern Wisconsin. But yeah, I mean, downsizing would be one thing. If he was throwing a moderate to large size bait, throw back something different and smaller, and hopefully convert that way. What do you think?
If I got four coming in, I'm going to make a change after two, right? So let's say we're throwing in whatever. We're throwing eights, right? Well, go to a five, go down to something smaller than that, you know. You could downsize, you could just get it happening across the board, you know what I'm saying? That would be the ticket.
You could, and if he's throwing eights, you know, you could come back with something smaller that's running deeper too, like a, you know, mid depth, you know, like a baby depth rater or something like that.
Right. Just mix it up. Don't go too follows and make it to four with nothing changing. Jordan English, Jordan, you are on the lightning round on the Muskie 360 podcast. How are you this evening?
Holy fuck, I'm excited now.
Let's go. Are you ready to go? What is your question?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right. He says, Colonel,
lay it on him, Steve.
My name is Jordan English, and I want to call the podcast. I don't care if it's midnight. Well, it's actually midnight on the East Coast, so here we go. I want to talk about when and why to fish slack water versus heavy current when both are present in the same system. Also want to talk about becoming a guide. So slack water, what do you want to know, Jordan?
All right. I have a trip upcoming, and there's a hydroelectric dam with a big runoff, and off to the edge, there's a big slack water system. I'm going to estimate it at 200-300 acres. Uh-huh. It's got a big dog leg, and it runs all the way to the base of a emergency overflow dam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is, like, I've never seen it used. So it's more lake-like than river-like. Given the upcoming seasonality and everything I'm going to be facing going up there week after season opener, when should I be targeting that versus, you know, the current at the base of the dam as opposed to the slack water?
Here's the deal, in my opinion, right? So when we're dealing with a hydro dam, which I deal with all the time, right? What will happen, it creates a seam. We can't see it, but it's there, right? Some days it's fast enough, you'll see the seam and you'll see the slack water. What we need to do is figure out, are muskies staged inside the slack and waiting for bait to come out of the current and into the slack water, or vice versa, right? So early season, my money's going to be on they're staged in the slack water waiting for easy bait fish, because post-spawn, they're going to be sitting there going, hey, this is an easier ordeal than us fighting this current to tag something, right? So what?
Absolutely.
They're going to tag, or they're going to be staged, like, right where the biggest fish, in my opinion, are going to be, there's going to be a corner. So current and slack water, there's always this tight angle in some capacity, right? The very tip of where current and slack water meet is where your biggest fish will be. They'll be staged there faced north into the current, and I don't mean north like as a cardinal direction, I mean north towards the dam, right? Yep. They're going to set in that current, in that slack water, and wait for bigger bait fish to pop out of that current. So if the dam's pushing, right? So let's say call the dam quote-unquote north, the water's coming south, the biggest muskies will be right on the tip of where they can sit there with no slack, right? Or with no current pushing on. You go, how do you find that? Take a shallow bulldog or something, and you go, where does my bait stop moving? Right? So we're going to throw that bait, and we're going to go, I don't feel current. Boom, I feel current. And there's a snap to it. So we're going to move our bait through the shallow water or maybe it's not shallow, the slack water. And we're going to wait till it goes smack and it starts going downstream. There's an apex. There's a tight little spot that's going to be number one. Number two is going to be downstream from that. And we can go forth sort of downstream in some capacity where that entire slack water is going to be suspect. But that really tight, that conjunction between current and slack water, right where those fish can stay, so we're going to catch your biggest fish.
Hmm.
What? Does that make any sense?
Oh, my God. I'm like picturing it all in my head.
Right.
Like there's anchored up with my redneck spot lock and like
hell yeah,
just like I'm picturing my baits going through and I'd have to anchor in the slack water and cast into the current and pull it the other way, like, you know, opposite what you're saying, but it's the same idea. But just let it go down that current break.
What you just said right there is a muskie that's feeding on current, right? So let's say, and I'm literally drawing this on my desk, which is a dry erase. Squeak, squeak. That's very loud. So current is an edge. Slack water creates a different scenario. A smart muskie, a big mature muskie would go, because, and let me preface, muskies are sprinters. They're not marathoners. They don't want to exert calories. A smart big muskie is going to sit right where fish will enter. So we need to figure out, you need to figure out where bait fish are breaking out of the current and coming into the slack water, right? It's generally at that apex where slack becomes current becomes slack. And there's a little triangle there, right? I don't care if it's a big back pair or anything. There is a triangular shape where there's a current edge. Now, a savvy muskie angler will park his boat in the slack water and throw to the current and make sure his bait enters at the apex through that current, that triangle, because a smart muskie, mature muskie, is faced at that. He expects bait to be coming out of that flowage, right? So if you throw, say, blades, or we throw a glider, whatever it might be, or a bulldog, a muskie's going to be looking for things entering the slack water from the current at a certain angle. So I would present behind the slack water, behind that seam that's going to get it going. Next question. You're working in an Italian kitchen. What's your favorite dish?
Man, my arancinis.
Hell yeah. Anyway, what else you got, buddy?
All right. My question would have been different, but I actually, today was my day off and I talked to Herbeck today.
Nice.
22 minutes, and like I had tears in my eyes because he took my random call. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, Herbie loves talking to people. He's amazing.
Oh my, it was awesome. All right. So, and he all but yelled at me because I am fairly new to this deal. Like last year was my first season really at it, and I have 11 rods for muskies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have electronics, and he yelled at me for that.
Herbie doesn't hold back. Anyway.
Okay, so I am all but hitting the pay for purchase thing on Bass Pro for this Helix 7.
Uh huh.
By the time I get it, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get out on the water before my trip.
Right.
What can I do to learn this thing in a hurry, given that I have no electronics experience?
So here's what I would say.
And I have side scan. With side scan?
It has side scan. So
yes.
Bang for your buck. Let me see if they still have them. Let's look here. Loans.
And Bass Pro, it's $500 right now, marked down from $7.
Nice. Okay. So if you can get on a unit, so the best thing I can tell you with, if we're going for this is the unit and this is your unit going to use, right? What I would do is, and this sounds cliche, you're going to read the manual front to back. I know it sounds corny. We're going to understand everything they're talking about. Secondly, I'm going to get on YouTube and I'm going to watch every video I can. And I'm going to look for a pro setup. You'll find like bass guys And there's a lot of like what I call mid-level guys. They want to be, they want to have notoriety. They want to have this. And they're doing really good videos on here's how to set up this specific model. So right now on my boat, I'm running low rants and I'm running TI elites or whatever they are, right? I watched a video of a bass fisherman setting them up. That's how I did mine.
Yeah, so, I know you talk about the crappy guys. So I'm going to watch the crappy guy videos. And
exactly. And watch these dudes because they're looking for fish far smaller than what we're looking for. Set your units up to find bait. Today, you know, I smacked a 4-footer trolling, and it had nothing to do with seeing a muskie. It had to do with seeing the bait. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to see bait fish. I want to understand where bait fish are. I want to really be dialed in on seeing as many fish as I can without false positives, right? False positives on a fish finder do us little to no good. So dial it in and figure out to the best of your ability by watching as many people. So I want to know every function of that fish finder where I go, it's nothing for me to go bam, 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 and I get it to do different things. That would be the biggest question there. Also, too, you said thinking about guiding. So there's an interesting thing. You're asking about guiding, but you go, how do you make that work? You know, do you want to guide in an area? Is it a matter of a short season or a traveling guide? Right?
Yep.
As a guide, one thing I love about that, establish a home range. Right? There used to be this deal in the muskie game where guys would run around the country and they'd get on a hot bite and the bite's done. Mille Lacs comes to mind quickly, Jay. Right?
Yeah.
If you're not the dude where you're at, you're nobody. Be the dude on your water, whether it be a stretch of river, whether it be a backwater pond, whether it be a creek, you got to establish you are the dude of where you're at. Jay?
So,
huh?
So how could Dick get far away from Lazarus?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a legendary name, you know what I'm saying? You go, hey, that's not a guy I want to compete with.
No, no.
Right? You know, how old is he at this point?
I have no idea.
You know, and what he's referencing, guys, if you don't know, he's talking about Mike Lazarus just killing it on the St. Lawrence, right? What you've got to do, and this is just Steve's life advice. Jay, are you ready? Steve's life advice, yeah. Everybody.
Go ahead.
You have to, in all facets of life, establish yourself as the best at something. I don't care if it's the best machinist. I don't care if you're the best tire changer. I don't care if you're the best Italian chef. I don't care if you're the best bus driver. That's how you succeed in life. So figure out something that's unique for your own facet. Are you ready for the lightning round?
Absolutely.
All right. Name three jerk baits.
The Jerk Master. Okay. From Livingston.
Fair enough.
Just jerk baits. I mean, I'm not going to count the Titan because that's a diving rider.
That's a jerk bait. Fair enough.
That's a jerk bait, yeah.
And the Titan, absolutely. And then I'll go kind of the polar opposite, and I'll go with the Hellhound.
Jay, next question.
Okay. Most productive color bait on a dark water lake system.
SP Great Flame.
I'll take that. If you guys fish in the North Woods, man, we've indoctrinated them now, Jay, right?
Oh, man.
Let's do something hard.
Okay.
Other than bulldogs and medusas, name two rubber pool baits.
Toothy Tough and Salt Eels. I love them.
Oh my god.
And does it double dog?
No, that's from the same company. Another rubber bait.
The eel, Savage Gear eel.
Bam, Jay, I'll take that as a win. You win the lightning round. Clap, Jay. Yay! Jay's going to send you an amazing prize. Send a message to info@muskyshop.com or at the Musky 360 app. That was too cool. You said on your email we could call it anytime. Buddy, you won the lightning round. Congratulations.
Outstanding work.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. Man, you guys just, I thought Herbeck made my day. Like, I just.
You talked to Herbie and us today. What, talking to me and Jay's like.
I swear, I was on the app 5 minutes before you called looking for the new podcast. And all I did was finish reading the last two paragraphs of the Strawberry Moon article that I didn't finish earlier.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, I got to wait till work in the morning.
Right.
For the new podcast, and like now I just
what a day talking to me and Jay is like, you talk to Herbeck for 20 minutes, but talking to me and Jay is like going to the dumpster and talking to raccoons.
Like, and now he realizes these things don't take place during the day, they take place during the late hours of the evening.
It is 12:23 at night in this podcast time.
Who needs to sleep?
Not me.
Absolutely not. I'm not sleeping anytime soon now.
Ain't no rest for the wicked. Anyway.
Well, wait till you see the prize we're going to send you. I don't know what it is yet, but I'll get you something cool.
Can I have one bonus question?
Yes.
Quick?
Yeah.
Steve.
Yes.
I texted you a massive long text earlier. That was me.
Okay. What is it?
And one of my questions I texted you, that your short shank, I forget if they're 6 or 7-0, I think they're tyrant hooks that you like for the bindies.
Yes.
Okay. I can't find them anywhere. What can an alternative hook be?
So we have, Jay, let me look here. I'm on themuskyshop.com. So, those tyrants.
On this trip last year, we pulled a 55 on a bindy.
Yeah. So, that happens up where you're at, baby.
Yeah.
So, an alternative hook. Let me see if they have it in a 4. Those are owners. Jay, what's the lead time on those tyrant 7s?
Not sure. You said 6-0 or 7-0, huh? For replacing on a supernatural base?
Yeah, but no, he's looking for. So here's the deal. I did this thing with Bondies where I went with a super short shank 7-0 tyrant hook, right? If you get these things on a log, they're going to bend. They're not pretty, but the hookup ratio is way better. I would go with the owner, right? So owner makes some short shanks. Mustad has a couple different.
Those BKK are unbelievable hooks, but they only go up to 5-0. That's as big as they make.
I would rather have a short shank 5 than a stock hook.
Yeah, it's a pretty big 5-0, really, to be honest with you.
So it's a wide gap.
Rule of. Yeah, it's a wide gap, exactly.
So Jay said, was it the BTK?
BKK.
BTK?
BKK.
Okay. So I would go with the, and you know who turned me on those? That was Team from the Netherlands.
Yep.
So it is the BKK Spear 5-0. Those are super short. They are sharper than a razor. They're actually kind of nasty sharp. That's going to get you the same hookup ratio with not worrying about those things bending out. So the BKK Spear 21SS. Would be my answer.
Try a pack of those. I think you'll like them.
They're going to be awesome. Well, dude, thank you so much for being a part of the lightning round.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Jay, Steve, I appreciate it so much, guys. Love everything you do. I've listened to every single podcast. Love you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
love you,
man.
Talk to you soon. Wow. That was that fun, wasn't it, Jay?
That lightning round.
Jay's going to send out something amazing. Guys, we're trying to get through the questions. We had the lightning round. If you want to be a part of that, shoot a question to the Musky 360 app. Put your phone number in and say, hey, you can call me anytime. We just did it. It was 12:26 at night.
We promise it'll be earlier next week.
You know, no, it won't.
We'll try.
I promise we will try something. Anyway, Jay, we've got some Q&A we got to do. I've got to leave for Budapest, Hungary on Monday. Guys, I want you to catch more fish. Jay wants you to catch more fish. Anything we do, send your questions. We'll get caught up on Q&A on this next episode. Josh Krieger's Muskie Report for the Northwoods comes out Thursday night. We're going to do another Booker Master Class, whatever you want to call them. That was fun, wasn't it, Jay?
Yeah, it was. That was cool.
You know, Joe loves it. Joe is just, here's one thing I want to say.
He's brimming with youthful thoughtfulness.
Here's the deal, what? Man.
Hit me.
There is no Stephen Paul without a Joe Booker. So right. If you're not watching his videos, you're not learning everything I spent the 80s and 90s learning. It's there for free.
I told Joel the first year I started really getting into musky fishing, he did the seminar where I was working. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I remember that.
I didn't know.
Yeah, this is like 1992.
Jay, I didn't know he presented at male strip clubs. Where you working? Anyway, what were you saying?
Well, yeah, it was a cool seminar, and it was somewhat life changing for me, really.
No, it's interesting. Joe's old school, we're new school. You got to find something in between. You got to find things that work for you, guys. Thank you so much. Next Level Musky Fishing, the restock on the book will be there. If you don't get one on this batch, I promise the batch after that will be coming out. Cool. Jay, say goodnight.
Night, guys. Thank you very much.
Later.